If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. We got a lot to cover today. We are joined back by the sisters or with the sisters from the Pop Apologist podcast.
Hello.
Hello, David. I have to know, are your Patreon people like, get these bitches off our Patreon?
No, I mean, let me just tell you that people just love, I think, when I break it all down with you guys. I mean, amazing. I've said it before, I've said it again. I'm into the analytics. I look at every number, and just, we have icons that are Fran Drescher, Susan Lucci. We just had Gabrielle Carteris from 90210, one of the best TV shows to ever exist in the history of TV. People care, but they don't care as much as hearing us break down all these shows. So there you go. So no, nobody is sick of you guys. They actually,
amazing.
I think that I could just tell everyone and these guests to fuck off and we could just like chit chat all day. And the people that are listening right now would be more thrilled with that type of chat, believe it or not. So
that's fantastic.
So I'm thrilled you guys are back. Okay, here's the deal. I know we're going to go fast. We are going to cover everything. We have Jen Shah and the Housewife and the Shah Shocker. We have Ultimate Girls Trip and we have the OC. Where, oh, where out of those three would you like to start?
I would love to start with OC. Chan, have you watched it?
I have not watched OC. So that actually is where I personally would not start there.
Well, we can do the OC quickly.
Okay, that's perfect.
Because we have watched it and Miss Dubrow has made an appearance.
Oh, she has. I feel like so vindicated in my suspicions of the Dubrows after watching this episode. I am so excited to chat about it with you. Okay, so since Chandler hasn't watched, I'll just do a little bit of a recap.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But they get a lot into Heather Dubrow's wealth in terms of like they show the house in all of its, you know, in all of its glory. Like the staff is in uniform. There's a private chef. There's a towel warming drawer, which like isn't that extreme, but there's, you know, obviously her closet filled to the brim with designer goodies. It's just so extreme. And I think what's so interesting about it is the end of the episode kind of centers on what's coming next episode, which is this blow up feud between the new cast member, Nicole.
Okay.
And well, it's basically about Nicole and essentially the fact that she is suing Terry Dubrow. She has sued Terry Dubrow in the past or is suing him, which is very strange because Heather doesn't seem to know this. But over a bad boob job, allegedly.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. I need to watch this.
Well, okay. First of all, one question, because you've talked about it here before, I know. So like, what was your suspicion? Just like what? That the Dubrows have fake money? Because you've brought it up here before. Like, I forgot what your stance was.
My stance was that there's just, their money doesn't make sense, right? Like Terry Dubrow's a plastic surgeon and yeah, they've sold some stuff in QVC, Heather Dubrow's a podcast. Like by all accounts, they're very successful, but they're not rock star successful.
Right,
yeah. Not like private jet, you know, private like chef, everything, huge mansion, building another mansion in Idaho. Like the money didn't add up.
They seem to have like oil tycoon money, versus looking at someone like Tamara, who lives in like a tract home in like a nice gated community. You know, like they have like an absurd amount of money compared to some of the other OC housewives.
They do, yes. And
like
you don't think that, like, because this is what you said the last time, you don't think it makes sense, like, why a surgeon can't get that much money.
Correct. I don't think that it's a lifestyle that you can honestly, even unless you're like a mega star or like an NBA basketball player, unless you're LeBron James, like, I don't think you're working and making that kind of money. And that suspicion, which a lot of people like just took it for granted that all of this money came from botched and Terry Dubrow's boob jobs. That suspicion was a completely confirmed and vindicated in the book, Not All Diamonds in Rosé, that came out. So this is a nugget that came out from Not All Diamonds in Rosé that basically no one has like blasted. And I'm very confused as to how this has not gone like more viral. But it's revealed in Not All Diamonds in Rosé that Kelly Dodd's realtor or friend was Heather Dubrow's realtor. And when you're a realtor, someone's realtor, like you kind of know more about the intimate details of that person's finances. And what that person, that realtor revealed to Kelly Dodd was that most of the money that the Dubrows have is actually inherited from Terry's father and brother, who was a rock star. And that's what they don't want leaked out. And that's why there's all these like cease and desist, because they don't want that, I guess, to be widely known.
Well, okay, so I mean, his brother was definitely in Quiet Riot, like a big, like, come on, feel the noise. I didn't realize an 80s rocker, like, of that level could make that much money. Like, sure, Ozzy Osbourne, fucking loaded, like, he's huge, you know, like, then you go into, like, softer rock, like Bon Jovi, fucking loaded. I didn't think Quiet Riot being a member gave you that much money.
I don't even know a Quiet Riot song. I barely heard a Quiet Riot.
Come on, feel the noise. If you've heard it,
I'll recognize it. Okay,
yeah, for sure. So I don't know that it's just that inheritance, but it's also from Terry's father. Like, apparently that money plays a significant role into their current lifestyle.
Are we sure?
They don't really want broadcast.
Got it. Are we sure though that none of this money is coming from Malibu Country? Heather didn't get a huge payout from her time on that show.
I'm sure of that. So, but what did Terry's father have? Look, I mean, it can't be from the Swan, because I mean, like, us, well, from the 80s rockers and all of that, it's kind of like, if you weren't the A-list, like, the money's different now. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no Taylor Swift money back then. It's like the money's just changed. Like, same with TV. So it can't be a ton from that. And as was Terry's father and Bob, I mean, The Swan was like the best fucking TV show that's ever existed in the history of TV. But I mean, I mean, when Terry and Heather were here, I brought it up to Terry and he was like, oh my God, I can't believe you even want to talk about The Swan. But that, right? Like, that can't be tons of money. I just thought it was from being a surgeon. It doesn't add up for you.
I mean, not only does it not add up, but Kelly Dodd talks about it in the book, Not All Diamonds and Rosé, like their money doesn't add up. You know, I'm not the first person to have voiced this. And she confirms that, you know, a lot of it comes from an inheritance, and it's probably an inheritance that was invested well.
Right.
I'm sure it's a, you know, combined with the money that they make. So it's not like Terry's efforts go for nothing. Like, he is on Botched. He is a successful surgeon. But you know, that's not the reason why they live the lifestyle that they do.
Lauren, can I ask you a question? Circling back to the lawsuit, haven't you heard something about Terry not being like a perfect surgeon? Like, okay, obviously so he's talented, but I don't think that he does like all he's like a one-stop shop surgeon, right? Like, he does everything, right?
So I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a one-stop shop surgeon, but I can tell you that living in Orange County, you definitely hear from people who've been to him. or you hear of people who have gone to him allegedly, and that they've allegedly been very unhappy. And it only takes a quick Google search of Yelp reviews to determine that there are many unhappy alleged patients of allegedly.
Oh my God. Well,
I'm actually terrified.
No, I mean, listen, I do have a very controversial OC housewife coming up that does bring up Terry's surgery. But putting this lovely woman aside, I mean, I had everyone says, who's your favorite, blah, 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 blah. I'll always go back to one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done is Miss Janice Dickinson, icon in the making, first supermodel ever. And she was on Botched. I mean, she was on the TV show. And, you know, she on the air on the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast didn't exactly have such great things to say. I mean, Janice doesn't hold back. Really? She said like Kendall and Kylie, you know, are nepotism. And I mean, it's all viral. Tyra's this. And Janice just says it is. She's like, I mean, she basically said he botched my shit. And I mean, but I'm not saying just Janice said it. So, but then there is another OC housewife who's like, Terry's booked forever because, you know, of TV shows and locally, none of us go to him. I'm not saying that. I have nothing against Heather and Terry at all. And I am in awe of how Heather looks like. Heather is like LVP. I don't know how she's like in that class, like the Carolyn Stanberry of like, girl, I am jealous. Like, how do you do it? Like Heather should just quit all this and just teach etiquette courses and style and dress. She's always so together.
I am with you, which is why when I speak these ill words,
you're jealous.
I hate myself because I love Heather Dubrow so much. Like at my core, I want her. I want to like, I want her in my life, maybe as like, you know, a co-mother with my mother or just some sort of matriarch, someone I can go to, you know, kneel at her feet, hear her wisdom. Like I honestly worship Heather Dubrow like a god. And so that is why I am personally very conflicted reporting this news.
No, but I mean this news. So I've known the rumor is that Nicole came on as a full-time housewife. Now, again, it just begs the like, I don't understand how Bravo does a thorough investigation. And then we have like racial claims and all these things. And it happens on The Bachelor, happens on every network. But like Nicole apparently was demoted. That's the rumor. That's, you know, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No. So apparently what happened is that once this comes out, Heather Dubrow like shuts down essentially and has her fired. Like that's the power of the Dubrows.
That is the power of the Dubrows. That is the power of the Dubrows. I mean, so you think that it is because like that the realtor told Kelly, I mean, we're making a lot of assumptions here because Kelly's involved, love Kelly, but you know, there's ulterior. So that's what, you know, that like Kelly, what you're saying?
Kelly just revealed in the book that the Dubrows were pissed at her for talking about the fact that, you know, they had this major inheritance, which plays a lot into their lifestyle. That's really the financial piece. The surgical piece is, you know, going to be brought to light, I guess, next episode, and is the reason why, you know, they got Nicole off the show because they don't want it talked about that Terry Dubrow is actually like not necessarily the surgeon that he appears to be potentially allegedly.
Yes, that is apparently why they got her off the show. But man, like the power of Heather Dubrow then, like that's where, I mean, I've brought this up before too. It's like, do I think personally that Heather Dubrow said like, look, I'm not coming back unless Kelly's gone 100%, although she says she didn't say that. I am sure that was brought up. I think that she actually said, I also don't want Bronwyn there. Not the direction that my show is going to go in. This is just my opinion. I mean, the Kelly thing she said, I'll never film with Kelly again. So I'm just assuming when they went to her and on hands and knees, she's like, I need Kelly gone. And they're like, okay, great. And I just think she threw Bronwyn in there because she doesn't think that's really the high class way to go of the show. And I mean, Vargas, who I love dearly, was, you know, just like, okay, well, why are we going to keep this Vargas? So I do think it's just, I've said this before, like, I wonder just how involved Heather is. Like, is Heather that LVP Bethany where there's rumors of, like, Carol Roswell was just here. She's like, no, no, no. I'm telling you, there was a text chain that went around between all the producers, and Bethany was privy to that. Bethany knew things that happened that with me filming, Luann, Ramona, things that didn't have anything to do with her when she wasn't there. She knew mm-hmm. everyone's story. I just wonder to what extent Heather, like, right? I mean, that's what it is. Well, Heather, we bring someone in and Heather's like, put the fucking kibosh on this now. You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
I just think that Heather Dubrow packs like as much of a punch as 10 housewives in one. Like, she brings this level of sophistication and style and wealth and personality and just everything. She's extremely captivating to watch. And yeah. So, and you know, she has that LVP, that Bethany quality where, you know, she's dynamite television. And I think she has that power. And I absolutely believe that she, like you said, picked the cast that she wanted to be a part, that she would film with, and said, there are certain people I won't film with. Kelly, for sure. I'm not 100% on Bronwyn. I think that there were other reasons that production wanted Bronwyn off the show. But I do believe that Heather Dubrow has that kind of weight, or was able to, I guess, throw her weight around in that way, because ultimately she is just so fantastic to watch, whether you love her, whether you hate her.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, like, to save the OC, because again, I've said this before, I personally don't think last season of Roni was as, like, I don't understand why it was off for everybody. Like, people hated it. I hated the only thing I've hated is the last season of the OC. I think it's the worst season in Housewives history of anything that's ever existed. And so who could you have said the return of? Nobody. Nobody. Like, you couldn't have had that dramatic walking. Oh my God, it's Heather. Heather's the only one that could have, like, had this presentation, right? Like,
so 100%. Absolutely.
So, like, if someone came to you when you had a lot of, you don't have all the cards. I mean, you can't say $5 million because that's what Bethany wants to save Roni. But, you know, it's like, I think Heather was like, I have a lot of cards. Like, this is how it works, you know, and not for nothing. The production company is the same company that just bought. So it's like, they've been in good. It's like the DeBros and Heather never fell out bad with anybody. And the bottom line is, she does elevate the show. I mean, it's wherever the money comes from, it's real money. And so if that's what people now want to have in their housewives, which is where this whole thing started, and I think that's what people want, especially after New York last season, I think, like, they're trying to do that now. Like, I think they're trying to make it like Beverly Hills on all franchises, right?
Well, I think that if you compare this new season, the season premiere of 16, with last season, like the depressing COVID home videos we were forced to watch, I mean, it's just an entirely, completely refreshed, completely different show in the best of ways. And so, yeah, Yeah. And I think that they did an excellent job. And, you know, there are certain choices that they made that I second guessed at the beginning. Like, I wasn't sure about Gina and I wasn't sure about Emily because I thought that they're both, you know, they didn't necessarily bring that that housewife drama in terms of their style, in terms of their wealth that the other housewives bring. But now I understand that casting decision, because watching the show, they do represent the viewer, like the rational viewer. They are kind of that Greek chorus, almost kind of singing what's going on and, you know, giving, commentary on it and being that relatable audience actually built into the show. And so I think it's really well done.
Yeah. How is Shannon this season?
You know, it's interesting. Shannon is just so Shannon in the best of ways. Like, she's walking through Heather's house and she can't help. I mean, it's so funny. So like they have this boozy lunch at Javier's, and then Heather's like, just come up and see the house. And so they're doing like this long walk through, and it's this full tour. And Shannon is just like clearly tipsy, clearly remembering when she was the matriarch of an estate in Newport Coast, and she's walking down memory lane, and this is kind of dark for her to witness. And so it's interesting to see that, and unfortunate. And I love Shannon. I love that Shannon is so emotionally messy. I love her in the way that I love like an LVP as well. I think she's great television. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I think to me, this is Shannon's make or break season. I think that, you know, the thing about Emily and Gina is like, I get it as well because they blend. Like, if you need some continuity for the Heather Dubrow show, they blend, you know what I mean? They're not going to stick out. And they're also, neither of them is afraid to go to the mat. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I get it. I think Shannon is, to me, going into the season, the most vulnerable in terms of if we are going to terminate somebody at the end of this season. I mean, without watching the season, it's Shannon.
Yeah. I even felt that, like, I haven't seen this season yet, but Shannon's the person who I'm actually the least excited to watch on TV. I've just started to find her pretty grating. And I think I've kind of seen her drama a lot. Totally. And I don't know. I don't know if it feels like real anymore. I don't know if or it just maybe feels too sad and real. I don't know. I'm like, I would love to see like a happy Shannon season. And I don't know if that's what we'll get.
Yeah. And I agree. I think, and I've said this before, like, I think like, I think that like her story, she to me is Sonia Morgan. Her story was, she was a phenomenal housewife, like married to an awful man. Finally, you know, couldn't find her voice, treated like crap, trying to diet. And he's like, I'm going to eat potato chips and pizza and KFC. You can go eat your fucking lettuce. And then, you know, finally finds a voice and it's over with this horrible man. And like, you know, then she's single and she gets fat and like, do you know what I mean? I just think like, then she loses the weight. Like, it's such a great story arc. I just think that there's nothing left and it is starting to feel fake to me. And so it's great. Like, we thank you for your service. You were one of the greats, but it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Is it time to move on? Because ultimately we're looking at someone who's not really going through things anymore. Like, she has the stable partnership and her kids are grown and about to leave the house. Like, we're basically, there's nothing, like, all we're witnessing now is someone like remembering their past and like the tribulations of their past. And so there's no current drama. Is that the problem, do you think?
And like the personality, it's kind of like, there's no mystery. It's like, she's a great personality for a housewife. It's just kind of like, you can't give anything else. Like, a straight, like, let's put it this way. We are more interested, if there was like, choose one, you are more interested in what is lurking behind Emily and Gina's eyes. Like, what is going on in those heads more than Shannon's? I just think we know Shannon too much.
Yes. I think Shannon has just not evolved at all. Like, we've seen Emily and Shane go through their marital issues, but Emily has evolved. And Gina's obviously gone through it with her ex-husband. Like, we've seen both of these people have like trouble in their relationships, but they've both evolved and they just feel like dynamic people that I can relate to. And I feel like Shannon is still kind of stuck in Shannon mode, I guess. I don't know. I just haven't seen her like as a person evolve past like some of her behavior.
This is the thing I'm going to say about this. I understand what you're saying, but I think that ultimately Shannon is very messy and chaotic mm-hmm. emotionally. And while it was exhausting, I think, to have a Shannon and Bronwyn in one season, I think having at least a Shannon, one person that's like that, is good, because on some level, if you have just all these very level-headed women with plenty of restraint and mystery, you might end up with scenes that fall kind of flat because no one's getting, you know, no one's getting messy.
I agree. I agree that Shannon does bring the messiness. I just think viewers are kind of sick of it. Like, she has like one speed of messy, and that's like, oh, that's really sad and dark to watch. It's all, you know, at the daughter's tavern or whatever that scene was where she threw the plate. Like, yes. You know,
the quiet woman. Yeah.
The quiet woman.
I agree with that. Now, I would love to talk about this more, but since we are trying to keep it on track, you guys, first of all, yes, you'll come back and we'll talk about more OC as the season
moves
on. Let's do it.
But in the meantime, let's talk about, but I mean, I agree with all of that so far. So let's now talk about The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker.
Okay, ugh. Chandler, dying for your thoughts. I know I kind of was a little, I went on too long when it came to OC. So what are your thoughts on The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker?
So The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker was, I'm just going to be totally honest, I think it wasn't as much of a shocker as I was hoping. I would say that, I guess I compared it to The Housewife and The Hustler because it was another Hulu production, and The Housewife and The Hustler floored me. Like, I watched it with my boyfriend and we were both just like jaw dropping. Like, I think The Housewife and The Hustler, about Erica Jane and Tom Girardi, like, really exposed everything. And like, it just, to me, it added so much context to that scandal. Whereas this one, it felt a little bit sensationalized. Like, it didn't have a ton of meat on the bones, you could say. So I have some parts of it that I did think were interesting, but I don't know if anyone else got that read. Like, I feel like the real drama is truly happening on the show and it's ongoing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of got that read. I didn't really learn much. I didn't really did we try to rush this out just because, I mean, the ratings for The Housewife and The Hustler were so good, and we're just not as invested in Jen's drama as we are Erica's. We have more mm-hmm. years with Erica as people. I think that's right. Part of it. Have you ever been excited by that big sign, free trial? You sign up and you don't even realize it's a subscription that renews without your consent. My life has changed since I discovered Truebill. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill because companies make subscriptions so hard to cancel. Have you ever actually realized you were paying for a subscription and then tried to cancel it? You have to scroll around that website so many times, click so many buttons. Truebill makes it so simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/velvetrope. Go right now. Truebill.com/velvetrope. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/velvetrope. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out BetterHelp.com/velvetrope. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope. And I think, you know what it is? I mean, Erica was a huge, huge fan favorite. People loved Erica. And so It's like, they also love like a lynch mob fall from grace.
Totally.
And like Jen Shah is just an unlikable human being right from the beginning. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe people love her, but it wasn't as much of a, like, I don't know. It's not as much of like a takedown, which people seem to love.
When I was watching it, I just kind of felt like there was, like you guys said, no real new specific information. Like, I liked watching and seeing how these telemarketing scams actually work, but I don't even feel like they said, and this is exactly what Jen Shah's scam was doing. They were like, well, this is the realm of telemarketing scams, but they never really specifically talk about what Jen Shah was doing, if, you know, and what even the scammers she was involved with were doing. They just kind of like, they were talking about it in general. And there wasn't, like you guys said, like anything new really to sink our teeth into.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. You know, like when the victims came out, I'm like, oh my God, like I feel bad for these older people.
Yes.
I mean, you know, all the people they choose to make the comments. I mean, I've had Dana. I'm friends with Dana, but let's just take her out of it, because, you know, everyone's about to call her and tell her that I've just shaded her. But like, let's just focus on like this guy who's like the super fan. And I'm just like, where are they finding these people?
Right. I didn't know where half of these people came from. They had like her assistant or her stylist who was like scorned and that like voicemail, and he was on it. But like, I didn't find that part to be like, listen, all that shocking. It just felt like a rehashing.
I had him on this show. It's a whole, okay. I have a whole story with him last year. It's like a whole weird thing of like, I don't know. I think he reached out to me. Maybe I reached out to him. I don't know how the whole thing started. And like, he was going to talk to me. And then like, we got on to do this interview, and it was like, he wouldn't, it was the, literally it's on my like top three of the strangest interviews I've ever done in my life. Like, I have nothing against him at all, but it was just like, you're not answering any fucking question. Then like 20 minutes after we hung up, he was on Page Six, like breaking his silence. I'm like, well, you were obviously paid for this. Like, I don't know if you were paid $1, $250. I'm not fucking paying you. I mean, I haven't paid anyone ever, nor will I, because I don't need to. But it was more like, you could have canceled the interview. And like, I'm glad you kind of did it, but it was just the strangest interview. And he was looking left the whole time. And I'm like, sweetheart, I have eyes. We're on Zoom. Like, who the fuck is standing to your left? Like, what is someone nodding? Like, is there like a cue card? Like, yes, answer. No, don't answer. I swear to God. It was the strangest thing. And I'm like, you were looking, and the video is on my Patreon, so it's like, people can watch it. It's like the strangest thing. I'm like, who are you looking? So that was just weird as well, right?
So yeah, that his whole interview was strange. That's crazy that he was like skittish, or at least like shifty on yours. I also thought that they brought up the fact that she faced a lot of racism and discrimination growing up in Salt Lake, you know, being Tongan or Polynesian. And I found that to be like valid and interesting, but I think it was just like, I don't think that gives someone license to then, you know, be a scammer. And so I just thought that like, that was an odd defense, I guess, like defensive side to bring into this. It's like, so you get to then, you know, scam elderly people. I don't know.
Yeah. Like Dana tried to bring that shit up when she was here. And I was just like, okay, like I had a miserable childhood. Like I was like a fat gay kid, like in the suburbs, that was bullied. Like, you know, yeah, it led to issues. Yes, then I've worked them out. Like, I don't think I'm just against anyone relying on like, this is my crutch for being like,
yes,
but right. Certainly whatever issues you have that may take somebody longer to work out, how does that give you the license to scam people? Like,
yes,
I mean, I get it. You feel the world owes you and you're going to show everyone to be richer and more beautiful than I get the psychology behind it, but no, I mean, no.
I even understand it as a defense where she's like, you know, she obviously gets too angry. She has anger issues, like whatever that, okay. That line of logic makes sense. Like, you know, I had to fight back my whole childhood, you know, against bullies, like, sure. But then the idea that like, she's literally being prosecuted by the government for scamming people and we need to now feel bad for her because, you know, that doesn't excuse it, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't excuse it. I do think it's more interesting. Like, I had Meredith here. I agree with you. I think it's more interesting what's playing out now. I've known Meredith from before Housewives, and I'm here for it. Like, I'm shocked. Look, Meredith is, I mean, you've heard her, you've seen her. She's media savvy. So
yeah,
I'm shocked that Meredith is even going there. Like, Meredith has said way more than I would have ever thought she would have said, you know, just because she's media savvy and, mm-hmm. but she's speaking out she's not doing it for press. Like, she's giving her real opinion on Jen. She's kind of like the Sutton of Salt Lake this season.
Oh yeah. I mean, so here's my question for you. Lauren and I talked about this a little bit when the episode aired, but do you think that Meredith knew? Because we both, Lauren and I, found Meredith's reaction to the girls calling her and saying, have you been checking your phone? Did you see what happened with Jen? You know, when she got arrested, we found her response to be a little bit cavalier or just like a little too cool. So I just wonder, like, did Meredith know? Did she have any connection to Jen getting arrested? What do you think?
I mean, look, I asked her when she was here, you know, point blank, like, did you call the feds? And yeah. I mean, look, Meredith is fun. She's coy. She gives her answers. Yeah. You know, it gets picked up in the press. Love. But so you have to listen to the episode. It's really good. But I don't think she called the feds. No, but I don't know if she knew. I just think it's like Heather Gay said on Watch What Happens. Like, they all kind of knew something was amiss, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something. And I don't know. It's just like, right. It's just.
I know we were talking about how Heather Dubrow's money doesn't add up. Like, Jen Shah's money never added up, even slightly. So, no. You know, I mean, even her fake little office, maybe it wasn't fake, but that little office, I don't know if you remember that scene where she was like scribbling in some notebook from Home Goods, like girl boss notebook. Like, it was just that whole thing. I'm like, real business does not happen in this office. I hate to say it, but I know I work in corporate America. This is not where real business goes down.
No, that I knew. Yeah. I mean, like, so I guess I never, like, we didn't have enough time to really think about it, but yes, like, it was the whole, like, a coach can't make this. And I don't mm-hmm. know. I just, and like, I even asked Dana, like, what did you learn from this? I mean, I still don't think that Jen personally, I don't think Jen Shah understands what's really going on. Like, I understand you could have the defense of like, I just handed over the leads, period. I mean, and that's not my problem that you decided to, you know, I gave you the leads. I get what the defense is, but I mean, I still don't think she understands the gravity of her situation. I mean, her social media behavior is different than Erica's, but not much better. She's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Again, if I were being investigated by the feds, it's just like, at some point you have to be like, I need to put earning, you know, whatever it is, $200,000 from social posts aside, because first I need to be free. Once I'm free, right. I'll be back and I want to do this and I need to make money. But it's kind of like, I'm sorry, you can't make your social media money, but you just can't, because you got to worry about walking around free. Because this is real jail time. Like, real. Well,
Lauren, weren't you saying that like the potential for her jail time is like really long? Like, she, and you, David, you're a lawyer, you know. Like, she could go away for a while. This isn't Teresa a year type of thing, right?
It's like, it's real. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
what did you think? Oh, go ahead, Laura.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think I was listening to another podcast where there was an attorney who was an expert on these kind of crimes on it. And he basically said that, you know, she actually might be looking like, you know, a decade or two decades in prison.
Oh my gosh.
For this. And so, cause I think initially we thought this would be more of a Teresa Giudice situation, but it's absolutely not. I think that
Jen Shah is a narcissist and really enjoys being in the spotlight, doesn't care if she's famous or infamous, as long as people are thinking about her and looking at her.
Well,
and so,
No, I was going to say, thank you, because that's another thing. When Dana was here, she like was, she gasped when I asked her this. It's like, I asked her, like, do you think, I was, she couldn't believe my question. Like, do you think Jen Shah is happy that this happens? I stand by that question.
Right. Cause well, she's now the center of the show. And
what I'll just say is that in the episode from last week, or maybe the week before, when she goes to her attorney the day after she's arrested, I don't want to judge anyone's grief or what they look like in these moments, but here I go. She did not seem that forlorn after she'd been arrested. Like, and maybe she, it just seemed like she was playing it up a lot for the camera. Like when she was debriefing with that attorney, it just kind of seemed like, I don't know. It felt like she was having another like great on scene moment. It didn't feel like she was like somebody who was just, you know, facing 10 years in prison, I guess.
Yeah. It doesn't seem that way to me. It really doesn't. And if you are a true narcissist, then you love this. Like you love the attorney meeting. Yeah. I mean, also like not for nothing. Why? I would be like, you can go fuck yourself, Bravo. Like you're not coming into my like attorney's office. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm just saying like, it's all great until like you really might go away. And then it's like, the only thing I would be thinking about in life is like, how do I mitigate the number of years I'm going to be behind bars? And then I'll worry about being famous and being on a TV show and making money on social media.
Yeah.
Well, I think like, you know, I personally felt like part four of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion actually was quite vindicating for Erica. Like as much as people love to hate her, it was clear to me that she did not know that Tom was engaging in these activities. I believed her when she said that she would not be on reality television. Mm-hmm. When she and Lisa Rinna had that moment where they're like, I wouldn't be doing the show if I knew this was happening. I think it's literally the exact opposite for Jen Shah. Not only did she know it was happening, she was allegedly doing the crime. You know, she was a co-conspirator of the highest degree. And you know, she was actually the one who is guilty and hurting other people. Well, and then she also is starring in a show at the same time. Like, it's so interesting.
A huge part of her storyline was being this mogul who has this huge business and her assistants. And, you know, if you were a person who didn't know you were committing illegal activity, I don't think that you would be putting, I don't know. I wouldn't be at that would not be the forefront of my storyline.
No, not at all. So I agree. I don't think that this hot, you know, housewife and Shah Shocker was that dramatic. Who do you think will be the next one?
Who do I think will be the next? What do you mean?
Like, because you know what I think they're going to try to do next? I wonder, like, I think they're going to keep this going. I wonder if they're going to do like,
oh, the next documentary,
like, like Mary Cosby.
Ooh.
Like, I mean, not that she's done anything wrong, but I think maybe you can investigate her. I think if the ratings on this are good, they're going to start broadening the scope. It doesn't have to just be like arrested. It could be like scandal.
Well, I mean, there's so much with Mary Cosby. I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface with entire life and story.
Yes. Yes. And yes. Okay, let's talk. Anything else you want to say about this before Girls Trip? I mean, I guess the bottom line is we don't really care about the Jen Shah thing as much as this is what I said. I thought maybe as the time went on, like people would get more, but like nobody seems to care.
I just think that you know we kind of
one thing I want to go ahead.
I'll just say, I think that the episode where Jen is arrested and that fallout, I think that just kind of like, excuse this expression, but it kind of popped her cherry. And I just think that you couldn't recreate that level of drama and just like shock in another docuseries unless they had some crazy new information, which it just didn't have.
Yes. I agree.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Well, I was going to say, if you have to say something, I don't want to cut you off. I just want to get to Girls Trip too, because I know everyone is like going crazy over Girls Trip.
Yes, apparently. Totally. Let's get to Girls Trip.
I would like to start this conversation by saying, I feel like, you know, maybe I've been very negative in the past several months talking about the end of Housewives and, you know, it's just played out and, you know, one day this will end just like the real world ended. And I think I need to check myself and put myself into a corner and say, maybe I had it all wrong. Maybe the brilliant mind of Andy Cohn and those, the powers that be, are going to figure this out for the next like 30 years, because I am here. I am awake. I am in love. I am in love. I am just in love.
I am so happy to hear your love for the Housewives restored. It's beautiful. Wait, give us your thoughts. I'm like so interested in, you know, how you've made this mighty change of heart.
I mean, listen, if someone doesn't like it, I want to know why. Like, you know, feel free to disagree. I really need to slow down and look at the timing of everything. Cause like, I feel that this was green lit and the idea came as New York was going down the toilet. That's what I feel. Mm. I didn't not like New York. I liked New York, but as the ratings were plummeting, I just think this is tied to that of like, wait a second, we got it. You people don't want anything serious. You don't want any real topics, no race, no politics, no religion, no anything. We got it. We want old school nostalgia. So it's like part nostalgia and part like, we got it. We're going to do the light edit and we're going to have fun. And so to me, it feels like this is like what Housewives started as. It wasn't these Twitter wars and this real disgust of your child is not your own. And like Monique and Candace and, you know, now we have all these, this to me is just like, we're going to fight and have drama, but it's going to be so light and fun, which we can do in an edit. I mean, even the song Housewives on the Island, like even the theme song, it's well, I mean, like everyone has their theme song and it's all the same, but it's like a different variation. They're like, no, we're not even going to do a variation, because they could have done a variation on the traditional theme song. They're like, no, we're going to bring in this. Like, I'm like, Housewives on this theme song is going down in history as one of the classics. Like, it's such a good theme song and it's just nostalgia, man.
Well, I think what's fun about it is this nostalgia with these iconic women, but I do find that the backdrop of Turks and Caicos, this new Jamaican theme song, it's like a fresh margarita, like an artisan handcrafted margarita. It's just extremely refreshing and delightful. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'll just add to that metaphor with that. I think they chose the finest ingredients to go into this margarita. Like they chose the best personalities, the most extreme personalities, maybe. And that they just knew it would mix well. So yes, I am also loving it.
I agree with all of that. And I think it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, so next season, you know, I mean, I don't know if now they're going to call it Girls Trip something else, or if it's going to be, I heard they were going to call it Ex-Wives like Club or something like that. But I just wonder where we go from there. Like, are we going to stick with the Ex-Wives? Or are we going to do the wives? Because I mean, they're two different things and like the possibilities are endless, just endless.
I want it all personally. Like I would to have, you know, the people who were fired. I would love to see them on a show, because there's going to be, what's interesting is we're watching mostly current cast members on this show, people who think they're going to be returning.
Yeah.
And so none of them are going to shit talk Bravo.
Right.
None of them are really going to talk badly about production, but I would love to see women who completely have written off ever being cast again, really talk about what it was like and break the fourth wall.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, like with that, you have like Jill Zarin, who is, you know, a thirsty bitch who spent the past like decade of her life with no goals other than getting back on Housewives. So like, there's nothing to lose. Like
feel, David?
Right. Like, let me tell you how I really feel. I mean, you know, and then you have like a Vicky who really wasn't over her firing. And so it's like, you have nothing to lose. It's like, so, you know, look, that could be really fake now. Like everyone's trying for the camera time, but it could also just be like, I mean, I'm fired. I don't got no salary. Right. And I guarantee you, because I mean, the rumor is they were paid 200 grand to go on Girls Trip to for this one. I bet you this, I mean, the second group got paid like way less, I'm sure. I mean, like, what? I mean, like, Jill Zarin, do you want to do this for zero? I mean, you could be on TV under the Housewives. We're going to pay you zero. I think her bags would be packed. So I'm not sure they even got the same type of like compensation or anything like that.
Here's one thing I'm curious about. I'm curious if these women, or if Bravo, like, did Bravo officially sanction this in terms like, or are these women just going completely rogue and just doing this special? Like, I'm just kind of curious if like Bravo is pissed that now their stars are going on another network and revealing secrets.
No, because it's Peacock and it's related. So it's all NBC. And no, they definitely sanction this.
Oh, okay. So Peacock is like a subsidiary.
Yes. 100%. Okay. So it's like all in the family. So that's the thing. It's like, even if these ex-wives trash Bravo, which they won't probably, I mean, it will be edited, but I don't even think they would on the show. I think they're just like, Bravo's the one that got us here.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is something that's just an offshoot. It's like a spinoff show. And on the same network, I think, essentially just straight to a different streaming platform.
Yes.
I think this is Bravo literally like in a tailspin trying to figure out a new recipe. Here I go again with this metaphor, but to just try to shake up all the franchises.
I agree.
Interesting.
I agree. I think it's like, you know, Salt Lake may not be the highest rated, but it's new and fresh. And I mean, The OC has potential too, to now have a blockbuster season. I think they're just like, we need to do something. Cause it's all, I mean, Vanderpump Rules, hello, is like this mic on? Like, right. I think they're just like, you know, Shaw's was fine last season, not the highest rated New York. I just think they're like, we need to do something. Yeah. But that's also why it's great to me, because like, it's so interesting to see these people that you know so well in like, just like, I mean, just interact with each other. Like, you just don't know how that would go. Like, who would have thought, like, you know, Kenyon Luann was the friendship that we all needed in life.
You know, one of the things that I think is amazing about it too, is, you know, Chandler and I don't watch Atlanta and we don't watch New Jersey. And so we never have, we haven't seen any of it really.
I've seen a little bit of early New Jersey. I used to watch it.
Okay.
FYI.
How many seasons have you seen in New Jersey?
Like, I watched the first few, like Caroline Manzo was like kind of my heyday.
Okay. Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I think what basically these kind of new shows are really good entryways into other franchises, because for me it's very daunting to consider watching a new franchise, especially one that's not like, if it's a new one that's starting to air and I can watch with everyone else, that's fine, but going back and watching 14 seasons of Atlanta or New Jersey, it's just kind of exhausting to think about. And I think what's cool about these, like this show, is that now I'm like, okay, I actually now I need to know everything there is to know about Cynthia. I'm like obsessed with Cynthia. I'm so excited to watch Atlanta and get to know these other women, because I'm like falling in love with, you know, a select part of their cast. And so I think it's like a good kind of gateway drug to the other franchises you might not have gotten into yet.
Interesting. Well, I do have some bad news for you. Cynthia, Cynthia's not on Atlanta next season.
I know. I read that. And that's why I kind of said that it was women who assumed that they would be continuing. Exactly. I was so sad to read that.
Yeah. I mean, I also have a theory about that too, that she kind of knew. And I think this was like a last ditch effort. No shade to Cynthia, because I fucking love her. I just think this is out of character a little bit for Cynthia. Like, I can tell you.
Oh, really?
Well, Cynthia's the last person in a way that certainly me, but I think a lot of people thought would just not be happy go lucky. Like, Cynthia's very chill. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So wait, she's very chill, you're saying. So she's not the one that would nitpick every little thing.
Not
which is
really.
What this feels like. Don't you think? Like, she's getting offended at the most like bizarre and tiny of slights.
Yeah. This doesn't feel like Cynthia. I mean, Cynthia is I am most shocked by Cynthia's behavior out of everyone's behavior. Not good or bad, just out of character. Like, I'm shocked. More so than any of the others, honestly.
Okay, well, I am dying to get your thoughts on Miss Ramona Singer's performance. Because if we are going to have a cast of all-stars, I mean, is she proving herself to be, like, the biggest star of them all by stealing essentially every scene she's in? Or, you know, is she just the worst and a total asshole?
I mean, a little bit of both.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, a little bit of both. Look, I mean, Ramona's future is shaky here, guys. Guys, I mean, this is real.
Really?
This is real. Listen, I know people that have been contacted. I know a ton, not a ton. I know several people in New York that have been contacted. They're not, there's no home visits. There's no filming, but I know people, I mean, not like rumors. Like, I know these actual human beings have had extensive chats with. Now, that wasn't yesterday. It wasn't 3 weeks ago. So I don't know. Nothing's really moved forward since then, but I can tell you, I don't think anyone is safe from New York, to be honest with you.
Do you think that they, so what you're saying is they might completely redo the cast?
They might. I personally think they have to bring somebody back for continuity. There has to be somebody. Do you know what I mean? But I think that whereas I was certain for so long, it was a clear thing of there are two people coming back. One is named Luann, one is named Ramona, and we're getting five others. And there will be seven women. And that is what's going to happen. And everyone could disagree with me, but when it happens, thank you. I was right. I'm now no longer certain for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on. The whole thing where like there was the investigation against Ramona and it's closed now. But I mean, the thing is, the longer it's off the air, we can live without Ramona, the people say. And I am not age shaming because I love people in their 50s and 60s. In fact, I wish the whole, every TV show had 60-year-old women on it. Nothing makes me happier. But I just think when it comes back and Ramona is like, what, 65, 66? It's just, if they're ever going to take a break with Ramona, this is the time to do it. But I do think she's proving that she's an actual horrible person and a true all-star epic A player at the same time from this show.
Guys, I don't know if it's just me, and I think I've said this before, but I can't even watch Ramona. I find her to be no longer entertaining and unbearable, but just unbearable. So I don't know. I would be totally for her getting booted from New York. I'd keep Luann. I'd keep a few others, but like Ramona is so far gone to me. I just don't even find her to be entertaining, because to me, she's like a broken record that I've seen, you know, that I've listened to a million times.
Yeah. I can see that. I think she does, like, her antics do get old for sure. I can 100% see that. Although I do enjoy watching her to this day. And I find her to be, you know, one of the funniest parts of this show. Like when she announces on the flight over that all of these women are stars and on the map because of Real Housewives of New York, that was the show that, you know, essentially got the entire franchise off the ground. Like the cojones that this woman has, it's pretty remarkable.
Right. Like that's the whole thing. Like to think that you started this, like, I mean, there was Atlanta, there was the OC, like what are you talking about? But I'm not there with you as far as just being disgusted. I find her very entertaining, but I am very disgusted also. So I really could go either way, and just know, like knowing her in the real world. And like, I want, like, if I saw her out, I would not have anything to do with her at this point. Like, I think she's a vile person. Like, I want nothing to do with her. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
for sure.
And I'm really good friends with people that have been on The Housewives with her that are not friends with her, that even if I did speak to her, I'd probably be like, my legs would probably be cut off, but I also have no interest. So I don't know. I just don't know. I think she's standing out as the one that, like, right, every fucking conversation is about Ramona.
Ramona's so interesting because, and Chandler and I are kind of on a Yolanda Hadid kick because we just read Yolanda's book. But in the way that, like, Yolanda Hadid was very grounded and, like, very, like, kind of spiritual and, like, and just seemed like a human being who was rooted in good things before she was, interested in wealth and fame. Like, Ramona's the exact opposite. Like, Ramona is interested in wealth and fame and notoriety and, you know, and embarrassing excess, and seems to have like, is not grounded at all. It doesn't even seem like you could actually have a real conversation with Ramona.
No, you can't.
This is a woman who literally is divorced and she's still making fun of other women for not being able to keep their husbands. It's just like, it's insane.
Yeah. She's on another level.
She's on another level. She doesn't get it. And I don't know. I mean, if being off the show will bring her down. I mean, the thing is, people will still kiss her ass in the comments. They'll still kiss her ass when they see her out. I mean, I live in New York City. Like, as you know, you guys too, like, you know, real estate here is really hard. Like, it is, you don't have to know people. That doesn't close a deal. You have to get in a cab and schlep your ass to Tribeca and then go over to Ramona's. What about when someone's like, I want you to sell my apartment. I'm hiring you. It's in Harlem. That's where it is. It's in a brand new building in Harlem. It's $2 million, bitch. You can make a commission. No, you're not going to stay on the Upper East Side. You go to Harlem and then you have to go to Queens. And I mean, Ramona's going to do real estate and pound the pavement. I don't think so.
No.
You know, and that's what you need to do to make actual money in it.
Ramona's like the least likable person, which I feel like every realtor needs to be likable because they have to just interface all day long. Right,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to hire her. So, well, listen, you guys need to come back because we need to talk more Girls Trip. We definitely need to talk more OC. Now I also have put on your list that I need to know about this Yolanda Hadid book. I didn't realize Yolanda was like she's a good person deep down.
Lauren and I is such a good person.
We both just went on vacation to Hawaii with our family and we both gobbled up, believe me, in a matter of days.
It's like a murder mystery. It's a page turner.
Does she talk about like current, like the divorce and,
you know, if she talks about David Foster. There's a lot of juice about David Foster. Not a lot, but enough to where you kind of get a better sense of who he is. I've got a lot of thoughts on him.
Yeah. Does she talk about like kids that are more famous than anything or no? We didn't go that like, it's
the book
current.
Was written. I think like when the book was written, I think Gigi and Bella had both just walked in Victoria's Secret. So it's slightly dated in that way.
They're still mega stars in the book.
Of course.
Like their stars had completely risen. It's very interesting. And we should
talk about it forever. So
a whole episode on Yolanda.
Oh my God. Okay, listen, I'm gonna put this on your list. So let's add Yolanda. I love how out of every Housewives book you could have read, you read Yolanda's book. Like that is a deep dive.
I'll give you a little teaser too about Erica Jane's book that I started and then promptly put down because the ghostwriter for Erica was like trying a little too hard. I don't know. So anyways, Yolanda's book was like actually very enjoyable to read. Yes, but sorry to Brian. maybe it's just Erica's voice on the page that just I could not handle. Anyways.
I get it. Well, I mean, okay. So yeah, I'm not going to read Yolanda's book. Cause I mean, I just don't have time to read it. It's turned into a derelict with no like life skills. So you're going to have to like review this, like when we come back and we'll do Girls Trip more and we'll do more on all this other stuff. And definitely the OC. I'm glad that you are excited about the OC and I need to hear more about your money, Heather Terry analysis is because I know that you feel that there's something there. I'm just going to live in the glory now of the house and everything. And I'm just like, and by the way, and we also need to talk about New York because the only person that would work with like that dramatic entrance, like she's back, is Bethany. So they either need to come up with $5 million or just think of another way to, I'm not even saying you got to love Bethany. I'm just saying, if you think about it, there's nobody from the past that we can say we're marketing the whole season around this person's back. It's only Bethany. And that would be $5 million. Right. Okay. Where can we all find you guys who want to follow you?
Oh my gosh. Love you. Thank you so much for having us on. They can find us. We're on Instagram, Pop Apologists. And also our podcast is out every Wednesday, Pop Apologists. Check us out.
We love it. Guys. I will send you all this. You guys will be back and love this chat, you know, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, David.
Love you both. Sorry.
Love you, David.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.